Hopefully there'll be some good vibes on your way home from Northwest Stadium on Sunday night, where they'll retire the number and jersey of Daryl Green. And, you know, that should obviously bring back a lot of wonderful, wonderful memories. I don't know DG very well. I've only met him a couple of times. Very quick conversation. So I can't sit here and tell you that I know him well. But from everything that I do know about him, just an all-star of a person. From everything that I know, right? Just humble, appreciative. You know, he knows his place. He's finally welcome back in the organization. I mean, look, like, I don't know if you guys saw on social media, on the Commander's social media, they built an entire, they redecorated an entire suite with all of his memorabilia and memories and pictures and frames and cool items and things that I presume he got, you know, they got some from his family, because I'm not sure if they had all of that just sitting around in a garage somewhere. Right? The punt return or whatever in Chicago. Like, this is a guy who was probably shunned by the previous owner and management. Not welcomed, truly welcomed. Occasionally welcomed, sure. But truly welcomed. And Josh Harris, Mitchell Rales, Magic Johnson, Mark Ein, et al., the organization, have figured out, hey, man, we can actually be nice human beings and try and win football games at the same time. You know, you hear this all the time on this radio station. Well, you could do two things at one time. You can walk and chew and gum at the same time. You can build the organization back up, and you can change the name. You can walk and chew gum at the same time. Doesn't have to be independent of each other. Now, y'all know how I feel about all this, okay? We're not necessarily going into that. We might touch on some parts of it a little bit later on. But you can walk and chew gum at the same time. You can change the name and rebuild the organization, blah, 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 blah. You hear that all the time around here, right? Well, here's what you can do. Here's what makes sense. Here's what legitimately good people do. They say, you know, we got to build up the organization to be a professional organization because it was in a state of decay for 25 plus years. It was rotten at the core. Well, here's how we're going to do that. We're going to hire Dan Quinn. We're going to hire Adam Peters. We're going to hire, a really good coaching staff, Anthony Lynn, so on and so forth. We're going to draft Jaden Daniels. We're going to bring in good core key players, like Frankie Louvu and Bobby Wagner and Zach Ertz and Terry McLaurin. And I mean, they didn't bring him in, but you get the point. And we're going to start doing all of the things that this organization has not done and has largely ignored for 25 plus years. We're going to refurbish the stadium. Yes, it's still going to cost you an arm and a leg to go. Yes, it's still going to cost you $13 for a beer, probably more than that, $17 for a beer. Look, there's a price to doing business, right? We're still a business. But we are going to refurbish, remodel, spruce up, even though this stadium's not going to be around forever, and it might be just 5 to 7 years. We're going to do these things because they need to get done, because it's the right thing to do, while rebuilding the football organization. You know what also we're going to do? We're going to treat people, whether they're legends of the franchise, whether they're currently playing for the franchise in terms of their families, whether they're media, whether they're fans, we're going to treat people like human beings and not just cash ATM machines and pawn pieces. And that's what they've gone out here to do with Daryl Green. Now listen, 55 plus thousand people would probably show up on Sunday against the Carolina Panthers at 4-2. Maybe maybe not as many as will show up ultimately. We'll see what the attendance is. Remember, it was only like 59 and change for the Cleveland Browns game the last time they were at home. But they are not retiring Darryl Green's number, I don't think, to make more money. I maybe I'm missing it. I don't know if there's like a legitimate financial reason that they would stand to gain to do this for Darryl Green and his family. They are doing this because they're nice people, because they're common sense-filled people. Something Dan Snyder and Bruce Allen never were. Right? And as far as Ron and his regime and Jason, they tried to do some nice things. Obviously, there were a lot of botches and a lot of mistakes, and a lot of that was because they were dealing with so many brush fires, maybe more than brush fires, that just as human beings, you can't be on top of everything, and you can't be 100% on everything. So when you hear on this radio station and elsewhere, well, they can do two things at once. You know what two things are important? Not changing the name, not changing the logo. The two things that are important: winning on the field and the right way, and winning off the field. Whoa, whoa. I know that's a term that has been made fun of for a long time, Bruce Allen, winning off the field, right? No, I'm saying, like, forget that clown. Winning off the field the right way. And how you do that is by treating people, not just legends of the franchise, but, yeah, it helps when you can treat a legend like Darryl Green with respect and dignity and praise and honor and celebration and recognition for a Hall of Fame career, for a championship career, for what he has done in the community, for what he has meant to Washington, D.C. and Northern Virginia. And by the way, great job out of Muriel Bowser and D.C. to give the key to the city. I know B. Mitch will be involved in that yet tomorrow morning. You know, all the details are out there. I forget what park they're having it at, but you can look it up. Very easy. The bottom line is you can do two things at one time. You can rebuild the football organization on the field, which they're doing, and you can rebuild it off the field in the community. And I'm going to have more on off the field in the community as we go along here, because I'm working, quite honestly, with, you know, on some very exciting projects that I don't right now have the authority and the ability to deliver and say publicly, but I will as soon as I get the go ahead. But I think you can probably figure out, based on what I represent and who I work with and what I like to talk about and what is important to me. Okay. My point being is you can do two things at one time. Listen to that part of the message. Don't listen to the "you can do two things at one time, you can change the name just like snap of a finger because we don't like the name and because it's associated with Dan Snyder and blah, 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 blah." You can do two things at one time. You can rebuild the organization off the field, which they're doing, and you can rebuild it on the field, which they're also doing.
You know, that's the culture is actually damn good.
No, Bruce, actually, it wasn't. Now it is.
That's the point.
Now finally, that Bruce is 5 years removed.
He's finally right when he's not actually talking about the current team.
I wonder what Bruce is doing right now. Because I thought for sure he was going to wind up, you know, with the LA Rams, because he was buddy-buddy with Kevin Demoff, who's like their president. And he had bought like a retirement home in Southern California, I think right outside of Los Angeles. To my knowledge, he's not doing anything. Not that I keep up, but I wonder. I don't know if it's important. I guess it's not. If it was somewhat significant, we would hear it. But, you know, but these things happen all the time. Like Mike Shanahan is a non-public consultant, more consultant. He's a non-public assistant coach for the 49ers. Been doing it for years. It's not listed anywhere, but those who know, know. And now you know, in case you didn't know. Right, so maybe Bruce is doing something for somebody else. I don't know. But the culture, when he said that, was horrible. The culture now is good. The culture now is good. On the field and off the field. And on the field, I know you guys care more about that stuff than maybe off the field, in the community, honoring legends, all that stuff. But I think it all helps. I think it all brings, you know, football ideally, and I was not here for the glory days, But it is a unifying thing. More than building a school, no offense. Or building a playground, no offense. Or opening a new shopping district, no offense. Or, you know, an Amazon HQ2, no offense. Sports teams, and specifically in this town, the NFL team, is something different than all of that, right? And it's something that we haven't had, by and large, for 30-plus years. For 30-plus years. Might be heading back there. So earlier this week, Linnell and I debated whether Jaden Daniels, after 6 weeks, and this year alone, not using history because it's not fair. Everybody's played a different amount of time, what have you. This year alone, through 6 weeks, whether or not he was the best quarterback in the NFL. And Linnell feels strongly that he is. I said, look, I think he's right there. I can make an argument for that. But I can make an argument for Lamar. You can make an argument for Patrick Mahomes, even though he's not putting up video game numbers. They're, you know, 5-0, what have you. They're still the Chiefs. They're still back-to-back. He had his best game before the bye against New Orleans. We'll see what he does against San Francisco coming out of the bye. Blah, 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 blah. You know, we talked about Jared Goff. We talked about Joe Burrow. We talked about Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield. And in some way, shape, or form, a lot of those guys, if not all of those guys, have had one bad game. And you say, well, one bad game should not determine anything. No, it shouldn't. But when we're trying to separate people for a made-up award, for a made-up recognition, we got to use any criteria that we possibly can. So my argument was Lamar Jackson has played a bad game already this year, week two, against the Vegas Raiders. Jared Goff wasn't great. Week one against the Rams, week two against the Buccaneers. Just wasn't. Right? Even week three against Arizona, they scored 20 points. 20. The Commanders went into Arizona and scored 42 the next week. Josh Allen had a horrible game on Sunday Night Football a couple of weeks ago against the Ravens. Joe Burrow, they started off, what, 0-3? Yeah, 0-3. Barely won a game in Carolina, lost another to Baltimore in overtime, and then won last Sunday night. So they're 2-4. Patrick Mahomes is averaging, what, 200 yards passing a game? They're undefeated, but a lot of that is because of their defense. Baker Mayfield had a stinkeroonie against Denver. Really good defense. Has been great other than that. We'll see what happens on Monday night against Baltimore. But he's had a bad game. Brock Purdy's had a couple of rough moments, maybe a couple of rough games. Jordan Love got hurt early, struggled when he came back. Remember that first three quarters against Minnesota? Sure, they were better in the fourth quarter, but you get the point. And on and on and on and on and on. Has Jaden Daniels had one bad game? I mean, you could make an argument the season opener in Tampa was not a great game. But even that, you didn't walk away going, man, that guy's clueless. Boy, was he a deer in the headlights. Man, was he completely overmatched. He ran 16 times for like 80-some-odd yards. You know, he didn't throw for a lot of yards, got it. You know, but he kept fighting to the end, took a couple of hard hits, was running, scored late, so on and so forth. You know, had a couple of near turnovers, but didn't turn the ball over ultimately. Jaden Daniels has not had a bad game yet. You can say he's had, you know, great games, very good games, good games, whatever, however you want to describe it. I am getting somewhere with this, so just hear me out. So this morning, I was bumping around and somebody put up something from Chicago, which I sent Maddie. We're going to get to that next week when Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels go at it. And it was a former NFL player, and he retweeted from the 33rd team, Dan Pizzuta's overall skill set and 2024 production quarterback rankings, quarterback power rankings. Now, I presume when he says 2024, overall skill set and 2024 production, that means only 2024 production. We're not talking about Patrick Mahomes' career legacy. We're talking about just this year. And that was the argument that Linnell and I came up with, right? We're not talking about a career legacy award. It's not fair to compare Patrick Mahomes to Jaden Daniels. It's not fair, even Joe Burrow, this year and this year alone. And the only quarterback that really, 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 really came close for me would be Lamar Jackson. And you know what I feel about Lamar Jackson. I got to see it still. I got to see him carve up a really good defense. But it's coming. It's going to happen. The question is whether it happens in the playoffs. But Dan Pizzuta of the 33rd team ranked Jaden Daniels the top quarterback in the NFL in his quarterback power rankings entering week 7. The number one quarterback, Jaden Daniels, with Lamar Jackson number 2, Jared Goff number 3, Josh Allen number 4, Joe Burrow number 5, Patrick Mahomes number 6, Baker Mayfield 7, Purdy 8, Jordan Love 9, Matthew Stafford 10, Kirk Cousins just out of the top 10 at number 11. So all of a sudden you go, whoa, wait a second. Chris and Linnell weren't crazy. They weren't nuts. They weren't just looking for something to talk about when they anointed Jaden Daniels number 1 through 6 weeks in 2024 alone. Because if you don't trust me, if you don't believe him, meaning Linnell, certainly you have maybe a tip of the cap, respect, whatever you want to call it, for the 33rd team, which is owned by Mike Tannenbaum, owned and operated by Mike Tannenbaum, and has nothing but general managers and officials and coaches and whatnot doing analysis work. And then they have a couple of staff writers, like Pizzuta, and I don't know what his qualifications are, but he works for the 33rd team, and here's what I know, okay? He's on with Craig every, I think it's Thursday, maybe it's every Tuesday, I can't remember. I mean, Craig would not have somebody that, you know, like, Craig would not have a dummy on every Thursday. It's just period. Whatever you know, whatever you think about, whatever you think. Craig would not have somebody that was a village idiot on every week with him breaking down the NFL, okay? So whatever you think of that, you got to at least say, oh, wow, is it possible that through 6 weeks, Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback in the NFL? Are those two blowhards just trying to get calls and curry up favor? No. No. Does it mean anything? No. It means nothing. But it's an acknowledgement. We start the show off with Roman Reigns asking Washington, D.C. to acknowledge me. It's an acknowledgement of how special Jaden Daniels has been through 6 weeks. And it's not just homer blowhards like me and Linnell, and I've never been considered a homer blowhard, but you get the point. It's somebody completely independent, somebody that covers the NFL, somebody that works for a site that I presume would go, dude, what are you talking about? What? No, get lost. Get out of here.
So we got to take a break, but coming back, I actually have a point that you haven't really touched on, which I took a look at the stats, and it's kind of insane and kind of leads towards the idea that right now, through 6 games, you kind of have to consider him the top quarterback in the NFL.
I was supposed to set you up for something, and I completely butchered it.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that was way before. I was looking at the TV, and I was confused because ESPN was saying, happy birthday, Chris Russo. But for some reason, your birthday was last month. So I was going to ask you, hey, why is ESPN wishing you a happy birthday? Could you explain that for me?
I have no idea what you're talking about. Happy birthday, Mad Dog.
Donkage.
Can you say Leon Draisaitl for me?
Draisaitl. Jokic.
How about Kyle Ishigawa, the catcher of the Padres? You remember how to say his name?
Yeah, I don't have that one.
I stumped you on that one. Sorry, Maddie. All right, 301-230-0980. So is it possible that Jaden Daniels really is legitimately the number one quarterback in the NFL. We can debate that. Plus, how worried are you on a scale of 1 to 10 that this game is going to be a little bit of a heart attack on a plate come Sunday, 4:05 against the Carolina Panthers? 301-230-0980. Your call is coming up. Stay tuned with us on the Team 980 on a feel-good football Friday along the way on the always live and free Odyssey app as well. All right, 301-230-0980 on a feel-good football Friday approaching 2:30. That means we're halfway home and halfway to the weekend. Got a couple of baseball playoff games starting at 5:08. Mets, Dodgers, Yankees, Guardians, 8:08. Mets could be eliminated. Dodgers could be onto the World Series. That'll make Doc happy. And then the Yankees and the Guardians, nobody's going to the World Series tonight, but the Guardians could tie up that series at 2-2. Got a couple of college football games, random style. Maryland in action tomorrow, right here on the Team 980. I think that's a 4 o'clock kick. You've got another terrible NFL Sunday morning game out in London or Ireland or wherever the hell they're playing these games at. Who cares? Between New England and Jacksonville, two dog teams. Last night, you had Denver, who's not very good offensively, against New Orleans, who's not very good, period. They brought back Drew Brees. They had, you know, home crowd, Sean Payton's return, and for us, you just worry and hope that 7:15 Sunday night, this team doesn't take a poop in their own pants, right? That's what you hope. A win is a win is a win is a win. I mean, I've just become savvy enough to understand that it's really hard to win in this league. And while people are going to be disappointed by if they don't blow out the Carolina Panthers, I would just say this. Don't go in expecting that. Don't go in expecting that. So that's one of the things we can talk about. And again, as Linnell and I contended earlier this week, is it possible, based on what I just told you about Dan Pizzuto of the 33rd team, again, it's just one person's opinion and ranking, but he's considered to be a smart guy working for a smart website. They've got Jaden Daniels as the number one quarterback in the NFL through 6 weeks. So is that possible? Is that real? Does that mean anything? Is that, I don't know, in a way it's kind of scary. Not scary in a good way. I mean, a bad way, like Halloween style, ghosts and gremlins. Scary in a good way because he's just getting started. If he can stay on the field and avoid those killer knockout shots, and he took one from Kyle Hamilton last week, and he got back and just came back ticking, if he can avoid all that, which is harder and easier said than done, he's going to be, I mean, he could be at the top of that list for a long time. Let's get to D.C. and Accutin in the leadoff spot. What's up, D.C.? How are you?
I'm well, and yourself, Russell?
Good. Where is Accutin again?
Accutin is just south of Fort
Washington. Oh, okay, Accutin. Okay, yeah. I'm sorry. I guess Maddie heard it as Accutin. Okay, that's what I was. That's what I was wondering if it was Accutin. Where is it? Wait. Now, where is it again?
It's just south of Fort Washington.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, yeah. My bad. All right. Well, I appreciate you getting in.
No problem. First, I would just like to say super salute to Daryl Green. Congratulations, yes. Humble dude. Played excellent on the field. I'm going to pick with you also, Russell. You went from saying JD was didn't weigh enough, he could get hurt, he runs too much, to now saying he's possibly or is the best quarterback in the NFL. If I like to say so myself, I'm going to call you Benedict Arnold. But
Wait a second. I've got to clarify something. You're right. I did say he's too thin. You're right. I was scared to death. I still am about him getting hurt. But I don't believe I said he runs too much. I said I didn't want him to run all that much because I feel like you, again, the further you get out of the pocket as a runner, and we've seen a couple of instances, even as a thrower, because the Kyle Hamilton shot last week was out of the pocket, but with the ball in his hands, actually the ball was well gone from his hands before he took the damn cheap shot. So, yes, I'm still worried about that, but I have The good things about Jaden Daniels, they've I don't want to say they've completely eradicated my fears, but they've taken away a lot of my fears.
Okay, I understand. And that's another reason why I'm not too fearful of us, what do they call it, a trap game against Carolina?
Sure.
Because Jaden Daniels is not worried about being the best quarterback in the NFL. He's worried about being the best quarterback for our team.
Mm-hmm.
And our team is focused on our team, and that's how we've been able to play the way we've been playing, because we haven't been worried about anything outside of what we need to do. That's discipline, that's focus, and that's putting in the hard work every week, and it's showing up on the field. You know what I mean? From Jaden Daniels to the rest of the team.
You know, I think that's a great point. And here's how I'm going to accentuate it, and then I'll let you go. 2 weeks ago, okay, they came home to take on the Cleveland Browns, and everybody knew the Browns were anemic offensively, right? Mm-hmm. But a good defense. Not a great defense, but a good defense. Yep. And a lot of people were worried about a letdown. And I'll even go one step further. The week before that in Arizona, short week after the big Monday night win. And what did they do? Sure, mm-hmm, they came out a little unsteady in the Cleveland game, but in the Arizona game, they didn't. And they put up 42 mm-hmm points. And then in the Cleveland game, unsteady a little bit, they could have put up 50, and they settled for, what, 35? And right. So to me, they've already shown me two signs. They've already shown me two documented signs of exactly the opposite of what we all worry about with a young team,
mm-hmm,
or a rebuilding team, or a Washington-based team, right? That they're going to take anybody too lightly, and that they're going to come in and get mollywopped by a team that shouldn't do that.
And Russell, one more point. We also make those in-game adjustments,
yes,
for what we may have prepared for. Mm-hmm. It's not working. We can go to something else. And Jaden is handling it. The team is handling it. The O-line is handling it. I hope the D-line gets better at it. And I hope our linebackers and corners get better at it
Well. No doubt. Good call. Appreciate you as always, DC. Thank you. All right. Good to hear from you. Have a good weekend. We'll get more of your calls in on the other side. I see Lou. I see... Is that our guy, Alan LaPorte?
Well, yes, it is.
Well. I saw him on Twitter yesterday. Now we're going to hear from our guy. We'll do that next after a quick trending alert right here, right now on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, so the Commanders are on the practice field now, wrapping up the work week. As the main part of the work week, they'll have a walkthrough, of course, tomorrow as they get ready for the Carolina Panthers, 4:05 on Sunday afternoon. Now, because of the late start, we have obviously a different schedule. We have the Patriots and the Jaguars from overseas at 9:30 in the morning here on the Team 980. When that game is done, about 1 o'clock, we'll have a countdown to kickoff, and Linnell and Denton Day will lead you into the game and throughout the game, and then the DOC on the way home out of Northwest Stadium, where they will retire the number 28 in honor of the great Darryl Green. It's the 1-5 Carolina Panthers, the 4-2 Washington Commanders. All-day coverage, again, of course, plus the Jaguars and the Patriots here on the Team 980 on Sunday. Tonight in the WNBA playoffs, it is the New York Liberty looking to end the season of Minnesota and the WNBA season as a whole. They're up 2 games to 1 after that unbelievable shot by Sabrina Ionescu to end the game on Wednesday night to take a 2-1 series lead. So you have that. Meanwhile, also in New York, you have one team at home fighting for to stay alive, and that's the New York Mets, down 3-1 in the NLCS to the Dodgers, 5-0-8 in that one. 8-0-8, the Yankees try and rebound from blowing one last night. They're up 2-1 against the Cleveland Guardians in Cleveland, again scheduled for an 8-0-8 first pitch, and that's what's trending. It would help if I turned on my microphone. Good to have you with us on a Feel Good Football Friday. Today's been not a bad day. Some might call it a good day. Let's see if we can make it a better hour and a half. Until the weekend, baby. Commanders, Panthers, 4:05 on Sunday. Got a bunch of good college football games coming up tomorrow, if you like that on the old tube. I mean, Maryland, USC here, as you may have just heard during the commercial break on the Team 980. Kick in that one from College Park around 4 o'clock. USC coming off that overtime loss to Penn State and getting absolutely shredded by the tight end, and then they have to come cross country. Maryland coming off of that awful loss last Friday night to Northwestern. So hopefully they are ready and raring to go. But you got Georgia, Texas, Alabama, Tennessee, two biggies in the SEC tomorrow. The Alabama-Tennessee game, the appetizer, if you will, for the big one at night, Georgia and Texas. And it just might be that Texas taking over the SEC. Just might be that way. It just feels that way, doesn't it? I guess we'll find out more. We still have our dueling Super Six Packs still to come, including our official pick for the Commanders and the Panthers. I did want to update you on one thing because I forgot a couple of times to mention it already. Dorrance Armstrong has been ruled out by Dan Quinn. So Dorrance Armstrong is not going to play. Tyler Owens is not going to play. I don't think that has as big an effect. He's been banged up for a couple of weeks now. Dorrance Armstrong missed a lot of that game last Sunday in Baltimore. Not sure exactly when he went out. Very late first quarter, early second quarter. It was kind of hard to tell there. It was after, I think, the third drive, if memory serves me correct. But that is a big loss because there was a couple of week period where he was clearly their best pass rusher and clearly their best defensive end. And when you combine that with no Jonathan Allen and Javonte Jean-Baptiste, that is asking for a lot against Chuba Hubbard and Carolina. And don't forget, Andy Dalton, you know, and I should do a better job sometimes pointing this out. Andy Dalton had two interceptions last week, but one was, you know, garbage time. The game was decided. It was a 16-point lead for Atlanta, and it happened basically on the final play of the game. So, you know, again, it's not like Andy Dalton's just going to come in here and probably throw three or four interceptions. Now, if he does, great. That's awesome. That's one way to neutralize what you don't have on the defensive line. But if they stay in this game, which I think they will, Carolina can run the football with Chuba Hubbard, and then Dalton working off a play action, and Dalton just being the veteran that he is with Deontay Johnson. And Deontay Johnson's a little bit banged up as well. But Xavier Leggett, the rookie, they can cause problems. They can score 23 to 27 points somewhere in that range. So you should prepare yourself mentally for that. If they don't get that, then that's great. That means your defense played awesome. But go in thinking this is going to have to be a 30 to 23, you know, maybe 34-27 type of game. Go in thinking that, because that's probably what kind of game I expect us to see, somewhere in that range. All right, let's go out to the phones, 301-230-0980. Our old pal Al Lapore with us, now a Philadelphia guy, but he is always a Commanders guy first. What's up, Mr. Lapore? How are you?
Doing well. How are you guys doing?
Doing good. Doing good. We miss you around these here parts, even though we just saw you a couple of weeks ago. And it was great to see you. And I know you, you know.
A couple weeks ago, man. It was August when
Well, that's
time,
true. Yeah, I guess it was 2 months ago for now. All right. Yeah, you're right. You're right. It was like 99 degrees. That's right. I forgot about that.
It was disgusting. Yeah.
How's your little man doing? Okay.
Oh, he's good. He's good. He's got an attitude about himself.
Well,
so,
that's okay.
On par for a little guy.
Yeah, that's okay. That's okay. I mean, you know, sometimes that's going to happen. You know, they want what they want, and they want it now. And whether it's a boy or a girl, you know, you just got to kind of rock and roll with the punches and do your best. You know, and if I know you well enough, you are doing just fine.
We're hanging in there. Right. We're hanging in there.
There you go.
Yeah. So yeah, no. By the way, if anybody in the office, maybe Jeff on his little lunch runs for Beamish, next time Grimace gets a little cranky, just go out and get him a milkshake. Just so you know.
You know, you did tweet about this yesterday. You know, I'm trying to be nice. I'm trying to be nice, and I'm trying not to make fun of Linnell too much today. There are still Grimace pictures all over the studio. And I don't believe
it seems to be weirdly warding off the Mets' wins. Ever since they started going up, the Mets have just...
I know. You're right. So you're right. It's kind of like Linnell's reverse karma. So what kind of milkshake do we need to get? Is it any kind of milkshake, or is it a specific Grimace McDonald's milkshake?
I mean, I feel like...
Oh, the connection. Terrible. Where'd you go, Lapore? Oh, it's bad. It's
Hello?
Bad. Oh, there it is. Okay. You're back.
Hey, you got me?
Yeah, I got you now.
Okay. All right. My basement that is terrible for phone calls, apparently.
It's okay.
Yeah, no, I think a banana chocolate shake down at Shake Shack would just work perfectly for him.
Okay. It could be any shake. It doesn't even have to be a McDonald's shake.
I don't even think it has to be McDonald's.
Okay.
I've heard stories about Linnell and McDonald's. You don't want that in your studio.
All right, I got one more important question. Are you Longfellow, T-Rod?
Am I what?
Are you at Longfellow_T-Rod on Twitter?
No. That is not me. That
You're
is not
lying.
Me. I wish I had that much time on my hands. It's probably, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if it's Paulie.
I mean, it could be. It could be. I mean, I think I know who it is, but he denies that it's him. So I'm trying not to responsibly call him out. But I think I know who it is.
I
knew it wasn't you. All right. You feeling a big Commanders win or a tight Commanders win on Sunday?
I'm just feeling a Commanders win. Okay. I mean, you got to take into account any given Sunday, which I know people hate that term, but you know, I'm 7 out of 10. I know last year when I came on, I did the whole LA Knight bit and probably was part of the reason why the season tanked. So apologies about that. So I'm going to keep it calm, cool, level headed. But you know, they win, I think Carolina, and the last caller was calling it a potential trap game, looking ahead to Caleb Williams and the Bears. But I just think they're just a better team.
Yeah.
I think the offense is just going to pressure and put too much pressure on Carolina to keep
if
up.
If Carolina did not have a Swiss cheese defense, largely because of injury and free agency trades, defections, what have you, I mean, they're missing, again, 5 key components from last year's team, yet they still have some pieces. I would feel a little bit more nervous about this, but again, I do think it's going to be a high-scoring game, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of, you know, 30-23, 34-27, so I haven't decided exactly what my final score prediction is, but I mean, if Carolina had even just a couple of more pieces on defense, I would feel a little bit nervous. Well, but I will say, if they pick on J.C. Horn, that's going to be a long day for Jaden Daniels and the Commanders.
I mean, I look at it this way. They as bad as the Browns' offense is, you know, there's still a really good defense.
Yep.
And they put up points against the Super Bowl caliber defense in Baltimore.
Yep.
So just as long as, you know, their defense is a bend, not break, which is actually one of my 3 keys to winning on Sunday, just field goals instead of touchdowns. I think they come away. I think they could actually win 10 games just based on that defensive philosophy. Bend, don't break, you know, allow, you know, field goals instead of touchdowns. I mean, I just wrote out the schedule. I have them winning 10 games. I mean, the New Orleans game after last night with all the injuries and everything.
Yeah.
I think that defense is just a wreck. Spencer Rattler is not good. They'll split with Dallas and Philadelphia. I think they'll sweep the Giants. They'll beat Tennessee. They'll beat Carolina this Sunday at minimum. So that gives you 10 wins by my calculation. And honestly, if they had a kicker, a competent kicker, week one against the Buccaneers, you're talking probably about a 5-1 Commanders team right now as well. But, you know, this team, as much as, you know, I'll listen to, you know, WIP up here, you know, the Sister Odyssey station.
Sure.
Up here in Philadelphia. The callers and the hosts and even people that I talk to and interact with, you know what their biggest comments are about the NFC East and the Eagles? God, I wish we were the Commanders.
Yeah.
I wish we had a quarterback like Jaden Daniels.
Yeah,
I wish we had an owner like Josh Harris.
Yeah, everybody's jealous right now. We'll see how long that lasts. We'll see how long it lasts. And you know, Philadelphia may get their share on a Thursday night coming up in a couple of weeks. I'll be out in touch, and we'll try and get together real soon. Good to hear from you, my friend. Say hello to the family for me, okay?
We'll do, you too.
All right, there you go. Mr. Alan Lepore, one of our guys who used to work here at Odyssey DC and has been a longtime friend of mine. All right, we'll come back, grab more of your calls. 301-230-0980. What do you make of the 33rd team putting Jaden Daniels as the number one quarterback through 6 weeks? If you didn't like Linnell and I this week, earlier this week, saying exactly that, what do you make of the 33rd team doing it? Which, again, is just a media publication, but it's not just a media publication in that it's run and influenced by a lot of ex-GMs and scouts and Mike Tannenbaum, who you see on ESPN and whatnot. So it does carry a little bit of weight, right? What do you make of that? And also on a scale of 1 to 10, how worried are you about this game being not necessarily in favor of Carolina at the end, but real close and too close to call. 301-230-0980 on the Team 980 in the Odyssey app. All right, down the home stretch of the 2 o'clock hour, we'll continue the phone calls into the 3 o'clock hour as well. We'll have our dual Super NFL Sunday six-packs, the most revolutionary, innovative, creative, never been done before.
You know what we didn't do yesterday?
What did we not do yesterday?
Yesterday we forgot to do a certain someone's stolen most innovative piece.
Oh, you're right.
We're doing so much talking. We never got to learn what Nell's right. Super Six Pack was.
Well, it's probably because he didn't like sit here and tell us how great it was and how the committee spent hours and hours and hours. That's probably why I forgot.
Well, I mean,
kind of like I forgot how to submit the show picks.
Yeah, fun fact
until midway through last night's Thursday night game, which I wasn't even watching at the time.
Both Chris and Linnell got L's yesterday, despite picking Denver, because they sent their picks in the middle of the game. And now I wasn't that much of a jerk that I was going to say both of you didn't get any picks. I did say if they weren't in by the end of the game, it was going to be 0-16.
You had a little mercy on us.
Linnell got close. I didn't get the picks until right about the start of the fourth.
I know. I mean, you said you sent the schedule at like, I don't know, Tuesday afternoon. I never got them. So, I don't know. They just showed up in my inbox last night, and that's what triggered my memory. But I should have remembered. It's my bad. So, I'll take the L, even though I was right. All right, coming up, our six games against the spread, including the Commanders and the Panthers. Let's go back to the phones, and let's say hello to, where are we going here? Alex in Alexandria. What's up, Alex?
Hey, Russ.
Alex, how are you?
What's happening, brother?
What's shaking, man?
Not much, man. This is a trap game on Sunday. Let's be careful with that.
I mean, what's your definition of a trap game? Is it a loss or is it a close win?
You know, I remember years back when we needed a win, we were a decent team, and we were playing on I believe it was Monday night game or Thursday night game, and Carolina wasn't very good. They came in and whipped us.
Oh, that was 2016. Bitterly and then, cold. And guess who the head coach of the Carolina Panthers was at that point?
Yeah, well, I'm just saying because then we had a game that the Carolina Panthers, when they came to FedEx, they were insulted because the Redskins were having their, what do they call them?
Homecoming, yeah, game. Back in 2012, sure.
And they whipped us really bad as well. So I have bad memories against this team. So I'm just, and Carolina, they can run the football. They're not bad.
No, absolutely.
Defensively, they like the Skins. They're terrible, but offensively, they can. So I'm just a little skeptical, if you can say.
No, I think skeptical is a good word. By the way, again, the answer to the trivia question, not only for the homecoming game, but also that 2016 Monday night or on that brutally cold night late in the year was Ron Rivera, in case you weren't aware. He was the head coach of the Carolina Panthers.
And you know, they came in and they just, damn, they whipped us.
Yeah.
So,
listen, it's a different organization, but to your point, I mean, Chuba Hubbard can run, as we've said, you know, all day. He would be even better if Carolina could keep games close. Their problem is they can't keep games close, you know, because of either turnover or because of their terrible defense. They get lopsided and you can't run the ball as much. So I don't know if he's as good of a receiver as he is as good of a running back. And he is a free agent, by the way, which I didn't realize. He's a free agent at the end of the year, so something to keep in mind because I'm sure he's going to want to get out of Carolina. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's a classic definition, however you define it, as a trap game. And it's one that, again, the Commanders, you know, they would be best to start early, not to, you know, again, wake up in the third quarter because then they could be in some trouble.
It's scary. I might be at the game, but I might not because I'm not feeling too comfortable with this game.
Well, listen,
I did tell you, you can play the tape back at the beginning. I said the Skins will start 3-0, and Daniels was going to be Rookie of the Year, and everybody thought it was crazy. Well, I mean,
I don't remember specifically that, but I probably would have said you're crazy because I thought they were going to start the year 1-2, is what they had, is what I had it at, and you know, I mean, after 2 weeks, I was looking pretty good, and then obviously the entire offense woke up. Thank you, Alex. I appreciate you. I got to run. 258 Team 980. Again, all your calls coming up. I see you. We'll get to you as many as we can. Just make them good, and let's get in and out as quickly as possible so I can get everybody in, and we can do what we need to do. Coming up, our picks against the spread again. Will the Commanders cover the 8? My answer coming up next hour. And did the Commanders stay in the top 6? My top 6 power rankings, which we go from 1 through 6, not 6 through 1. No, no, no. And we don't have honorable mention for every other team in the NFL. Nope. Nope. We do things differently around here. The most creative, innovative, revolutionary, never before done radio segment in the history of mankind. Still to come in a final hour of power right here on a Friday afternoon. Stay with us.